Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Awesome. So I'd like to just maybe we'll give a nice introduction. Today's topic is to stay faithful, or theme is to stay faithful, but we could have just actually called it part three, you know, do not be ashamed, part three. But we're going to go with stay faithful today because I feel that that is the central theme, but we inevitably are going to focus on the context which Paul is bringing to Timothy, which is to do not be ashamed, and therefore to look at the cross. And therefore, we do not have to be ashamed. But just some other context, if you were not here, we'll go through all the sermons. This is our third part of not being ashamed. But also, the book of 2 Timothy is a book that Paul writes being in a dungeon and being delivered to death. So he's going to be killed for his faith. But that being said, just a good reminder for us to see what we are busy with. We are busy with and reading a letter that Paul is writing in prison, going to be killed. But also, this is his last days. He's really writing with an urgency. This is his last days. He can die tomorrow. And without getting negative or morbid, I think it's good for us to reflect upon our lives and to think about we can die tomorrow. This can be the end tomorrow. We can have a week left, we can have a day left, we can have maybe 50 years left. But to ask the Lord, am I busy with what you are calling me to? Am I busy with what you are saying at this moment? And this is of utmost importance. This is not something to neglect. And I think if you can get this right this morning, to say, Lord, I want to be obedient to what you are saying. You've won. That is also the theme for today, is to stay faithful. And I think it's beneficial for us to often think about, you know, this can be my last days. How will I live this life? And what will there be left for me in the eternal life? Amen? Because that is what the Bible is continually like throwing at us, is the eternal life. What are you busy? Are you living for this life, or are you living for the eternal life? Okay, but just to maybe give some introduction to what we are busy with, and we at the third sermon of this short series of saying in 2 Timothy of do not be ashamed, and this is also a theme going right through 2 Timothy, is to not being ashamed. And we saw in verse 7 and 8, verse 7 saying, maybe you've heard this verse, but you have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And Paul saying, because of this, because of verse 7, because you've received the spirit, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and accept suffering, which may sound quite wacky, accept suffering. Yes, because Jesus have came. And then we saw in verses 9 and 10, he said, you are called with a holy calling. Saying that you are called to holiness, to obedience. Every one of us are called to holiness, to obedience. And that's why I'm saying, if today you can just say, Lord, I want to be obedient. Radically obedient. Doesn't matter what you say. I want to really be obedient. It's going to be the focus throughout today. Then you've won. So, just in simple terms, the first sermon saying, do not be ashamed, go and share the gospel. There will be persecution. Accept suffering. Accept persecution. People don't like the evangelie, what's it? The gospel. People don't like hearing the gospel, saying, I need to lay down my life. I need to take up Jesus. No longer I who live, like Renew shared, but Christ that lives in me. No longer my will, but your will. It comes over offensive. to say, people, you need to change your life. You need to surrender it to Jesus. And there may be persecution, but we shall not be ashamed. I mean, this is what Paul is saying. I'm busy dying. You don't stop. You, Timothy, I know you are timid. I know you are scared, but don't stop sharing the gospel with people. Then we saw in verses 9 and 10, Paul saying, you are called with a holy calling. Amen. You are saved and called. When you are saved, you are automatically called. Automatically called to do what? To do what Jesus did. Amen. He discipled the lost, and he evangelized the lost, and he discipled those who are saved. And just to stop there for a moment and ask yourself, who are you busy evangelizing? Who is God laying on your heart to evangelize? And who is God laying on your heart to disciple? Those who love God already, but who should you walk a path with in discipling? And then today we will focus on being faithful and staying faithful. And George, just ask yourself, if you were here in the first sermon or the second sermon, have you applied that? The first sermon we said, do not be ashamed, go and share the gospel. Have you shared the gospel with somebody? You've had 2 weeks, ne? It's just a small test. I don't know what your answer will be. But to ask yourself, am I being obedient to God? Am I saying, just doing what God is calling me to do? And secondly, we spoke about being obedient. You are called with a holy calling to do what Jesus did. How does it look like the past week? Have you been speaking to God regarding where you should be obedient? Because we will always have to be obedient in some area. God is constantly busy with us. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And it shouldn't make us go and be negative in the corner, but really to say, thank you, Jesus, for your cross, that we can repent and we can turn back to you. And where have you been struggling to be obedient? Where is God working in your heart? Have you applied? I had this friend who shared with me his vision for his family was to try to do what they preach on Sundays. Obviously, I'm part of the guys preaching on Sundays, but it was for me also challenging to hear that. Like, how does it look like to obey what was preached? And I told myself it's not that easy. Like, I must actually do effort to be obedient with this. Like give an effort to this. And I want to ask you, Sus, have you been obedient the past 2 weeks? There's things God often calls some people to and not others, but there's things that God calls every one of us, and that is to share the gospel. And also, just to give some examples, some of us he'll call to leave our jobs, amen, and do something else. Some of us he'll push on our hearts to do specific things, but there are things that's non-negotiable. There are things that you need to be obedient to. Just for example, driving the speed limit. How difficult is that? It's non-negotiable. God says, submit yourself to the authorities. There's a speed limit, drive it. Now, being honest in business, treating people fairly that works for you, loving people. Those are non-negotiables. How does that look like in your life? How does it look like? Are you busy being obedient? And we can go on with the list. That's not the idea. But to really be open to what God is calling you to obedience for. Because we often push it aside. We see the speed limit, but we push it aside. We're like, God will understand. No, you're being disobedient. Eh? God can do everything. And I tell myself in this specific situation that when I'm starting to drive too quickly, I'm starting to miss what God is planning for me. It's just so evident. Okay. What is God calling you to be obedient to? So we'll jump in. Let's read 2 Timothy 1 from verse 11 to 18. And let's see what we can learn from this. From verse 11, so in verse 10, just to say again, Paul shared the gospel. He shared the gospel in verse 10, and then he says now, for which, because of the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Then it shifts a bit, the whole seriousness. Now Paul is explaining something else. He's saying, you are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among who are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. So just to start with, I want to focus just a bit on verse 13, which said the following. This will be our theme for today. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me. So the things that Paul said, follow this pattern. And a pattern is in Afrikaans a patroon. It's something we work from. Like you need a pattern for a dress, to make the dress. You need a sketch or an architect to design a house, and therefore you can build the house according to the sketch, according to the pattern. And the pattern in this case is the gospel, the good news, what Paul has been sharing, the good things that he has been sharing throughout this book, and also all the books that he wrote to Timothy. That is the good sound words. And we'll explain a bit what the sound words are. But in short, is the gospel. And the gospel changes us when we understand and apply the gospel completely. We look at a worldview. We all have a worldview. We cannot negotiate about it. We have some kind of worldview. But when we have a biblical worldview, we see the world through the lens of the gospel. The gospel saying, I am saved. I need to be saved. I am dead in sin. I need a savior. The atonement of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus comes and saves me. My heart changes because I see the love. I see the love on the cross. It changes who I am. It changes the way I think. It changes the way I do things. I change from being served to serve. It changes my whole life. It changes the way I see things. That is what Paul is saying when he says, follow the pattern of the sound words. Follow the pattern of what I have said. We see him explaining the gospel in verse 10. We see, do not be ashamed. We see he says, you have a calling to holiness. Be more like Jesus. Okay, this is the sound words. We need to follow this. And we'll go through a few points a bit later around, well, how does it look like to follow the sound words? And just the other side of the story, when we do not follow the sound words, we get cheap gospels. I mean, we get false gospels. We get unsound doctrine, unsound teachings. We get people saying, yeah, Jesus died for you, don't worry, you just carry on like you want to. His grace is enough. That's not the true gospel. And we enter a type of consumer mentality regarding to the church. When I come on Sundays, what can the church do for me? What can Jesus do for me? Because, I have to give my time on Sundays, or in small group, or in serving, or whatever it may be. And we become harsh. That's the wrong view of the gospel. And it's a worldview, the wrong worldview. When we see Jesus, when we see life through the lens of Jesus, we change. Amen. So that is what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. All he's doing is he's reminding him of Jesus. He became timid. he became scared. He's saying, remember, eh? Remember who died for you. Okay. I want to start off by, that's the theme. Okay, so let's jump in from verse 11 and 12. Let's read it again, and then we'll start from the top and we'll work our way down to verse 13, that is our theme. So verse 11 and 12, just to remind us, it says the following: for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And remember, this is the for which is the gospel. He was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. It's people that share the gospel. It's people that disciple others. And for this reason, I suffer. Okay, he's saying this the whole thing all over again. We spoke about, we are suffering. We can experience suffering. We should accept suffering. This is why I suffer. And I am not ashamed, because I share the gospel. I share the good news. And I am convinced, here the things change a bit. I am convinced that he is able, speaking about God, to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. What has been entrusted to him? The gospel. The good, sound words that he need to preach. Can we see this all over again? And I want to encourage us, when it comes to sharing the gospel, there's not, I want to say this, you are the guy who needs to share. There's not some kind of super Christian or level 10 you need to get to share the gospel, amen? We are the people that need to share the gospel with other people. Otherwise, they will not know. They will not know about this treasure we have found. And to think it about like it about that, it's like just nobody else will. Nobody else will do it if we don't do it. We are the Christians. Otherwise, what we saw this in the first service, someone sharing, we are inevitably going to like experience someone who teaches us. But it's either the world or it's God, it's his word. So either we are the salt and the light in the earth and sharing this with people, or the enemy will come and he will steal and he will kill and he will destroy. And therefore, it's important that we share this with everyone. In love, of course, but to share this. Then we get to this second part, which says, and I am convinced, this is Paul saying he's convinced, that God, or he is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. At first, I actually didn't understand this. Didn't understand what Paul is saying. He says that God is entrusting us with certain things, amen? With gifts and with all those things, especially referring to the gospel, sharing this with people. But then it says that I'm convinced that he is able to guard that. Whatever he has given me, God is able to guard it in me. Which may almost sound as if we can enter a type of a passive state because God will guard it. And God will do the work. I can just chill out on the couch, which is not the case. We see in Philippians 2, maybe you've heard this verse, but the gospel being shared in Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11, and then it says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but also so much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, which means we need to have healthy God fear working out our own salvation. Definitely, we being part of the picture. Then, just after that, God saying, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we can see in this verse that it's a working together type of thing. And I thought of this beautiful picture of me and my little daughter. She was here in the first service. She likes to spray and wet the plants. Now, if I cannot wet on my own, she runs and she grabs the hose pipe and then she wets me as well, but she wets everything. So she always wants, Ephraim also wets with us, but she wants to take hold of this hose pipe. Now. And then I'm like, okay, cool. And I open the tap, I give her the hose pipe and she can now wet the flowers. But there's something she needs to decide when she does this. She can either like wet everything else, even me, even she has the ability to walk in the house. The hose pipe is long enough and like wet everything inside the house as well. So we can be ruthless in using what God entrusts us with. So I entrust her to wet the garden. The best thing that she can do that will lead to wetting the garden properly is to ask me to help her. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. It's just like, you know, Daddy, help. Yes, sure. Let me help you. You hold this and let's wet there. Let's wet there. And let's wait there. Yes, there we got it perfectly. Né? But we have the ability to do something completely different with the gifts God has given us. And therefore, the best way to use what He has given us is to ask Him to help us. To surrender it back to Him. And it's a beautiful picture. This is what Paul is painting to us. He says, I have given you the gospel. I saved you for amazing works, for a great calling. But you need to ask me to help you. You need my help. And we do. We need His help. When we try to do this alone, we often see that it does not work. It does not work that well. We need His help. And Paul, in this thing, this word surrender just came back to me. You know, surrendering our lives. Surrendering. Not my will. Again, the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. I'm surrendering myself. And I thought of three things. I thought of our lives. We should surrender our lives. We should surrender our work and our ministry, but also the gospel that is given in us and allow it to work in us. I mean, to change us. The gospel must change us constantly. Like Thessalonians says, it's the will of the Lord, our sanctification. It will never stop. We are called to grow in holiness. Amen. So firstly, this is our first point. Invest your life fully to God. Sorry, not with God. But with God is also beautiful. To God. And surrender it. Invest your life with God. And firstly, your lives. Now, we see this beautiful picture of Paul saying in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So yes, in verse 10 we see this also beautiful verse that said, Christ came and abolished death, and He brought immortality to light. Which means that we have now one long life with death somewhere in the middle. Amazing. We have nothing to lose. The death has lost its sting, and therefore we can now be obedient. And Paul is here rebuking Timothy, saying, why did you forget this? Why are you being timid? Why are you being ashamed? You shall not be ashamed. Amen. Go and share the gospel. We also see this beautiful verse in Mark 10:29-30, Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. Well, Peter is actually before this saying to Him, we have left everything for you, Jesus. You know, where shall we go? And Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, there is no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive in this age 100 times as much. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, all with persecution, Jesus says, and in the age to come, eternal life. Poof. You know, that is what we go for. That is what we live for. Eternal life. He will give us back 100 times. And that doesn't look like I said last time, maybe silver and gold and a nice car and everything. But He knows what's best. Amen. We can trust Him. The only thing we need to do is to take the step of obedience every day, every time. Every time the Holy Spirit calls you to be obedient, do it. It's the best. The reward for investing our lives in Christ is great, great heavenly reward. Okay, so that's your life. Secondly, entrust your work. And I want to say your ministry as well. Your work cannot really be separated from your ministry. It's really important. The work or your occupation is definitely your field where you need to work, amen, for the kingdom of the Lord. And maybe just quickly stop there and just think about, who is God calling you to reach at your work? But there's this wonderful thing that Paul also shares in 1 Corinthians 3. We don't need to take responsibility. Né? He says that I planted, definitely responsibility in some sense, but listen to what he says. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused it to grow. Which is important to remember. We cannot bring growth. We can only wet the garden. We can only plant the seed. We cannot make it grow. God is the one who does that. We see when Jesus was crucified, 120 people were praying in a room. And then after that, when he went to heaven, Peter preached and 3,000 people came to salvation because of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings the growth. So when you feel a burden to disciple people, being maybe frustrated with people not doing what you are telling them to do, take heart. Jesus is the one that brings the growth. Amen? We need not to be ashamed. We may never see the fruit of our ministry, but it's not about us. Amen? It's about Jesus. And then lastly, we should give the gospel to God. And I mean that definitely in evangelizing, but also allow the gospel to work in your heart. Allow God to show you. As we give things and surrender things, God can take better care of it than what we can. Amen. Okay, so that brings us to our second point, which we will pack out this morning, and that is follow a pattern of sound teaching. The sound words that you have heard from me. And obviously focused on verse 13, which says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ. God, the good deposit. Now this is so important. We saw this, I don't know if some of you remember, we also went through the book of Colossians. And in the beginning of the Colossians, basically the whole first part was just dedicated to doctrine. Paul just sharing doctrine, sharing the sound teaching. Remember this. In order for you to remember the gospel, you need to understand sound doctrine. You need to dedicate yourself to understand what good doctrine is. In Matthew 5, verse 19, Christ also says that those who disobeyed his teachings and taught others to disobey it would ultimately be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And therefore to teach also unhealthy doctrine without even knowing it ultimately leads to shame. And we saw last week, Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven, which ultimately leads to eternal death. So therefore, very important to understand the gospel, like I shared it now. Last week also I shared about the gospel, so if you're unsure about unhealthy teaching or not sure what I mean, go listen to last week's sermon, but also understanding the worldview correctly. When we are here on earth, we look at Jesus, we take in that, you know, that occupation of a servant. We serve, we look at Jesus. This allows us to even become holy. So, super important. So, I have a few points that I think can help us to follow a pattern of sound teaching. If you are writing today, if you have your phone with you, you can write down these 6 points. I'm going to start with point number one. But they are, I think, good if we can apply this. The first point is, we must understand sound teaching through the disciplined study of the word. It's not on the board, but I'll share each point slowly. Through the disciplined study of the word. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, just a few verses later from where we are now, it says that make every effort to present yourself before God as a proven worker who does not need to be ashamed, teaching the message of truth accurately. Teaching the message of truth accurately. How can we teach the message of truth accurately? By spending time in the Word, studying it. And it's very good to read the Bible, and before you go to bed, read a chapter. But do you make time to study the Bible? Do you make time to really understand what these doctrines are? I think in us, often we feel like if we are at work and there's a like an issue or something, we call the guy that knows a lot about the Bible. That guy is you. That guy is you now. I want you, God wants you to go and study the Bible and be able to give a defense. Today's generation of children and people don't know the Bible. They are illiterate and uneducated about the Word of God. If we are going to be unashamed, we must understand God's Word through disciplined study of the Word. Okay, so make time for that. Our second point, to keep sound teaching. This is a difficult one, but we must obey it. And otherwise, we will feel like hypocrites. How can we now share the gospel if we don't obey? I mean, this is really important. And I think often we hear what God is saying. But we're like, no. No, wait. Give me more time to pray about it, God. No, not now. Not now, God. Sure. That's a big one. Or you're, if this is what you call me to do, I don't know. I don't know anymore. And we get ashamed. We get ashamed. We feel like hypocrites. We draw back. We draw back from God. We draw back from quiet time. We're like, I don't feel worthy. And there the enemy comes and he makes us shameful and proud because of a small thing. Just be obedient. It's as simple as that. So be obedient. One of the main reasons people are ashamed of God and His words is because we don't obey what God is calling us to do. Amen. Okay. Our third point, to follow a pattern of sound teaching, we must test all teaching against God's Word. And this also means today. This also means this Word that you are receiving from me. Test it. Come to me. Share with me. Hey, what did you mean by this? I would love that. It would be good. It will grow me as well. So test the Word. And obviously, we are in like so different spaces in our lives, especially at work, where we get to meet people that's often not even Christians. There you should get out your test meter very quickly, you know, and we should test everything people say. We should test parenting strategies. We should test the way we do marriage. We should test the way we do our work. We should test our cultural expectations. Even the rituals maybe that we are doing, traditions we are following. Test those things. It's super crucial for us to live in this sound words Paul is calling us to do. It is crucial to test it. Otherwise, we won't know. We will just go and follow this blindly. And if you are followed blindly, guess who's leading you? Oh, the enemy is leading us. So we must test it by the Word of God to follow this pattern of sound teaching. Okay, point number four says, to keep sound teaching, we must demonstrate in faith and love. We see this also in that verse 13. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ. And what that means for me, in short, is we need to have faith. Otherwise, we are not Christians. We need to be faithful. And we need to have love. Otherwise, we are harsh Pharisees. I mean, we'll hit people with the Word of God, but we won't have love. It's important that when we share the gospel, when we share truth out of the Word, that we love people, to have the best intention for them. It's super crucial. Test your heart whenever we share these truths. And we need to love the Word. David says, oh, how I love your law. All day I long, I meditate on your law. This is Psalm 119, verse 97. And Peter 1 Peter 2 says that we should yearn for the word of God as babies yearn for milk, as infants. If we love it, we'll study it, and then we'll obey it. It's easy. Otherwise, we become harsh Pharisees. And yeah, definitely with God's mercy and God's grace. And to say, God, I fall short. I struggle. Help me. Help me with the garden. Help me with this. I need you. We always need God. Okay, point number 5 says, to keep sound teaching, we must protect sound teaching, which is almost the same as to test it. But just an example I want to use is, when you are in a group of people and someone shares something that is unbiblical and you are in that group, it is important that you say something. If they say something unbiblical, you need to say it, because otherwise all the people in the group will see, aha, that person was there and they didn't say anything, so I'm assuming that it's okay. Okay, especially when it comes to interesting subjects. We need to test the word. We need to bring the truth once again in love, but we need to share. And it's all, seldomly it's quite awkward, right, to be that guy. That's that guy that God is calling us to be. In love, of course, but to share the truth. Since false teaching abounds in the world. Otherwise, we'll just help people from where they are even deeper into a dungeon in wrong thinking, wrong theology. We need to share those things. We need to defend and protect the word of God. Otherwise, it's going to get lost, basically. Yes, God will protect it, as he says, but we must be the salt and the light. We must bring light to the truth. And then lastly, which is probably our most important point, is to keep sound teaching, we must rely on the Holy Spirit, which verse 14 tells us to do. God is within us. He is speaking to you. He is saying things to you. Are you listening to him? And I want to give that moment again we gave a few weeks back. If you feel that you have maybe suppressed or grieved the Holy Spirit, you are not being obedient, just tell him you're sorry. Just there where you sit, close your eyes, say, Holy Spirit, I am sorry. I want to turn back to you. I want you to lead me. I want you to lead me loud. I want to hear what you are saying. It doesn't matter what I need to do. I don't have any other God but you. No money, no comfort. I want you. I want you and your obedience, because that is the best. That is the best for me. And we must preserve this. We must ask the Holy Spirit to help us to discern. That's 1 John 2:27. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us discern the truth. We see in these last few verses, I'm just going to share short about it, but Paul's referring to people that turned away from him and people that was faithful to him. He gives us names. He says Phygellus and Hermogenes, and he also says Onesiphorus was a faithful man, and he prays for him. And all I want to say on that is, there will be people leaving the faith. There will be people not supporting you. Maybe you'll be alone at small group. That's okay. You be faithful. You stay faithful. There will be people doing life together with you. Praise the Lord. Like Onesiphorus here. But you keep the faith. You are not ashamed. You keep the sound words of Paul. And often we forget, like I shared last week, we forget God's goodness. We forget the cross. Even Timothy forgot. That's why Paul is writing this to him. Do not be ashamed, Timothy. And we forget, but let's turn back to him. And this, the only reason we forget about him is because of some idol in our lives. Something we put on top of God. Something we think is more important than God. Whether it's money or comfort or a car or a house or whatever it may be, or your children, He's the number one, and He should take the number one place in your life. Otherwise, it will lead to shame and we will forget about Jesus. I want to end off for us on this beautiful piece where Jesus comes to Peter. And you've probably heard this, but He says to Peter, throw your nets once again on the other side of the boat. You remember that story? And Peter is like, no ways. We have been here the whole night. But because You say so, I will do it. Because You say so, I will do it. It's Luke 5 verse 5. Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let them down. I will let down the nets. And guess what? They caught a lot of fish. Because You say so. This is a good motto to live by. Because Jesus said so. If He calls you to be obedient to something, it's worth it. Do it because He said so. It won't make sense. Maybe you will think, yeah, I did this all night. This guy doesn't know what he's talking. He's a carpenter. Let down your nets. He knows what He's saying. And often we find it easy to believe that God can help Peter to catch a lot of fish, but to help for me to catch a lot of fish, oh, I don't know. I don't know if God will help me. Amen? We doubt God. We know that we can do these things, but for me, when it comes to me, I'm like, sure, Lord, I'm struggling. This theological belief in Jesus' power comes easy, but a personal trust in, wow, Jesus, I believe that You can do this for me, it often comes difficult. But I want to give you this. There's a beautiful saying in English, says, let go and let God. Because You say so, it's enough for me. Christ is enough for me. So I want to end off for us with these two things, and I want you to pray into these two points. And it's about to let go. The first thing is, pray for one another for areas in your life where you struggle to surrender. And maybe think of the most important thing for you, the thing you are maybe thinking of the most at this stage in your life. You know what it is. Be obedient to that. Share it with someone. Share it with an accountability partner that can keep you accountable to be obedient. But it's not worth it to keep holding on. But let go. Give it to the Lord. To pray for areas that we need to surrender. And lastly, pray for your quiet time. Specifically, studying God's Word. Specifically, studying His Word. Definitely pray and worship 100%. But in light of today, I want you to think of how we can study God's Word more and understanding God's character more, changing our worldviews, and you know, just taking that form of a servant to love, to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it.